I'm going to start today by inviting you to use your imagination. For some of you, this will be easier than others. If it's helpful, you can close your eyes and picture yourself getting ready for a night out. Dinner at a lovely restaurant with someone you rarely see but love to spend time with. Perhaps for some of you, you could imagine it as a romantic date that you've been looking forward to for weeks. You've picked out the perfect restaurant with the perfect menu for you both. Everything is set, and you've struggled with the anticipation that this evening has brought in you. In this imaginary story, there is no COVID-19 to worry about, so this is something you could genuinely look forward to. You spend a couple of hours getting ready, ensuring that you look nice, that you've picked out just the right outfit. With a nervous energy, you head to the restaurant where you said you would meet at 6:30. You're so excited, you arrive 10 minutes early. You're the first there. You get to a table, politely tell your server that you're waiting for someone, but that you're early, so there'll be a little while. At 6:35, you begin checking your phone for texts or calls or emails to see if they've messaged you, because now they're late. At 6:45, still sitting alone as the lineup of other customers grows at the entrance to the restaurant, you start checking your calendar and emails to make sure you haven't confused the night or the location of the meeting. At 6:50, you start scrolling through their social media feeds to see if there's any indication as to why the person isn't where they said they were going to be. Each time the server comes over, you apologize and you feel just a little bit more uncomfortable. Finally, at 7 p.m., you order a drink just so you can justify keeping the table while you wait. You text the person you're waiting for. You call them, but you get no response. At 7:30, after an hour of waiting, you sheepishly apologize to the server. You pay for your drink and leave an extra large tip and quietly slip out of the restaurant. All by yourself. Imagine this scenario. What are you feeling? What might you be telling yourself about the other person who didn't show up? What might you be telling yourself about yourself? Some of us might be kind of developed enough in our emotional maturity that we can kind of differentiate and like nothing phases us, but most of us will face other feelings. Perhaps you're frustrated, a little embarrassed that you sat there by yourself for an hour. Maybe you feel like you've lost something because you didn't get what you were so looking forward to. Maybe you feel like you've lost someone because they didn't show up. Maybe you feel neglected or ignored. Maybe just lonely. You're probably hungry, which doesn't help you control the other feelings. After being so excited for the evening, maybe you feel deflated, sad. You potentially waffle between wanting to hit something and just sitting down and crying. This thing you were so looking forward to didn't happen the way you wanted it to. And that can be hard to work through. Maybe you begin asking yourself questions. You know, why did they forget about me? What was more important to them than connecting to this dinner? But maybe something happened to them. I hope they're okay. Was I crazy to think that tonight would be a good night? I never have the chance to have just one good night out. What's wrong with me that makes people not want to spend time with me? Wait, this isn't my problem, this is their problem. As this flood of feelings and thoughts hits you, you sit down on a bench just a little down the street from the restaurant to process all this stuff that's in you. We started with that imagination experience because when we imagine something or experience something in a short period of time, like someone not showing up to see us when we were expecting it, anticipating it, we come face to face with a lot of emotions and a lot of questions very quickly, very acutely. Even the process of imagining a situation like this, we can tap into some of these emotions. However, the emotions like that aren't only felt when we experience something so acutely. During these days of COVID-19 and heading into a Christmas where we're not going to be able to gather and enjoy things as usual, we feel the same kinds of emotions. The difference is, because they don't hit us in a rush, because it's been spread out over a long period of time, it's easier to ignore them or to try and rationalize them away or simply to bury the feelings and not truly acknowledge them. But as we head into a season that's normally filled with anticipation and excitement, and instead we miss out on those things that we look forward to, we're going to feel some of those same emotions of loss, frustration, anger, deflation, sadness. It's good and right for us to both feel those things and to acknowledge them. My hope this morning is that the story of the months leading up to the first Christmas will help us see something that can help us find joy even when we're missing out on some of the joy we were hoping for this season. Those of you who have some familiarity with Israel's story know that by the time we get to the part of the Bible that we call the New Testament, Israel has been waiting for hundreds of years for God to initiate whatever is going to be next in his rescue plan for the world. It's been hundreds of years of praying and hoping and waiting, and from their perspective, God not showing up. That's a lot of years of loss and frustration and anger and deflation and sadness. It's also a lot of time to figure out how to rationalize or ignore or bury those feelings as individuals and as a community. But things would come up in the life of their nation and the life of individuals that would make them feel these things in very real ways. It's into this context that we have two angelic appearances with some words that have the potential to open us up to joy, to open up joy in the hearts of the hearers. We've already alluded to two of these stories in the kids' story and in the Advent reading, but I'm going to start by reading Luke 1, verse 5, down to verse 20. This is the story of Zechariah hearing about the baby that's going to be born to him. Luke 1, starting at verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both well advanced in years. They were missing something that they had longed for, both as Jewish people waiting for the Messiah and just as people who wished they could have children. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Zechariah was a wise man in his choice of words. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." After this appearance of Gabriel to Zechariah, Elizabeth did conceive a baby. And then there's a second angelic appearance that occurs just a few verses later. Again, this is Gabriel showing up, and we'll start reading at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born to you, will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. In this passage, there are really four messages from God to his people who find themselves struggling. The first is something that the angel says to Zechariah back in really, he doesn't say to it, it's something he shows. Luke 1, verse 11. The angel shows up to Zechariah. And then in verse 28, we read what he says to Mary. He says, "You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." The simple answer to their struggles is the assurance that they've not been forgotten, that God is with them. Sometimes when we get lost in the sense of loneliness and missing out, we feel like we're all alone, like no one cares, no one understands. And it's good for us to hear the messages that were given to Zechariah and to Mary, that you have not been forgotten, that God is with you. That's the whole theme of Advent, of Christmas. God with us. You've not been forgotten. The Lord is with you. The second message that we see here is something we find in Luke 1:13, what he says to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Specifically for Zechariah, it gets into talking about how he's going to have a son. Now, it's an interesting thing because as the angel speaks to Zechariah and tells him this, Zechariah is like, "It's not possible. I'm old, my wife's along in years, I'm not going to have a son." It makes me think that at some point he had stopped praying this prayer. That he doesn't, he's actually given up on this prayer that God has not given up on. Sometimes we long for something, we ache for something, we pray for something, and even when we have given up on praying for it, it's good for us to hear your prayer's been heard. This longing of your heart, God has heard that longing. There's also the bigger thing in that these were righteous people. These are people who are trying to live as though God's kingdom is coming, even though it's not coming the way they want and when they expect it. And we get a glimpse of this in what Gabriel says to Mary in verse 32. When he says that this baby that's going to be born to Mary is going to be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. This is tapping into this like collective longing that this people of Israel have had for centuries. They have been longing for it, praying for it, and many of them seem to have given up on it. And yet the angel shows up and says, the prayer has been heard. Not the way you wanted, not the timing you expected, but God has heard your prayer. And the third thing is something that I think is just a real blessing to hear. When the angel spoke to Mary and just simply said, "You who are highly favored." That you found favor with God. What has she done to find favor with God? Not much, really. She just lived her life as a young woman trying to do what she was supposed to do. There's no indication at this point as to what made her so special. The specialness was that God offered her his favor. And quite frankly, that, again, is the story of Advent. The inclusion of shepherds, nothing special about them. These foreigners, the way of Jesus walking around, inviting people in to follow him who were the unclean, the outcast, the lost, the least. Offering his favor to people. There are probably some of us who this Christmas just need to know that you have found favor with God. He looks on you with favor and love. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to make things easy. What Mary is about to go through, none of it was easy. You know, you read through the birth, you imagine what she would have gone through as an expectant, unmarried woman in this pretty religious culture. You watch the pages as it moves through Jesus' life, and she finds herself often on the outside just trying to get close to her son who is so busy. You get pictures of her standing looking at her son on the cross. There's nothing easy about what she's getting into. But she can find joy in that she has found favor with God. This was God's message to these simple men and women who he invited into this climactic point of rescue. It was the message for us. This whole story is about God with us, the ongoing promise and presence that's offered to each of us and to all of us. These messages are just as real for those of us who find ourselves struggling during this strange and difficult season. You've not been forgotten. Your prayer has been heard. You have found favor. God is with you. When you find yourself missing loved ones this Christmas and feelings of loneliness and missing out begin to set in, please hear these words. God is with you. You have not been forgotten. When you find yourself desperately praying for those who you cannot be close to this Christmas, longing for a chance to reconnect and re-engage with family and friends, please know that God is with you and your prayer has been heard. That doesn't mean the waiting is going to immediately be over, but your prayers aren't falling on deaf ears, and they aren't just being lost in the atmosphere. Your prayers have been heard. And when those messages creep into your mind that make you wonder if there's anything you could have done differently to make this Christmas special, you may even hear direct criticism from those around you about how you have chosen to handle things this Christmas. I know families are divided over how things should go this Christmas. When those words from inside your own head or from the mouths of others start to get us questioning ourselves, please know that God is with you and you have found favor with him. I think of the lyrics of one of the oldest English Christmas hymns, "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." It describes the gift of God with us at Christmas as tidings of comfort and joy. As I thought about it, I love those two words together, comfort and joy. I find them very helpful as I look forward to this season in particular, this year. When I'm struggling, before I can get to joy, sometimes I need comfort. Comfort in knowing that I've not been forgotten. Comfort in knowing that I've been heard. Comfort in knowing that I have found favor with God. As I, to borrow the invitation from that hymn, as I find rest in that and a sense of peace in that place, I am more open to finding joy within whatever is going on around me, even though it may not be the joy I really initially wanted and was expecting. I can find rest in that and actually find joy even though the circumstances aren't the ideal. You're invited to find comfort and joy even if it isn't the thing that has been what you've wanted the most. Let me give some real life examples of ways that we can find joy. Even though we aren't getting what we want, like the ideal, the longing, we can still find joy. I think I've only seen my family once since last Christmas. My family lives in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, and so we usually find times during the year to connect, but after we connected last Christmas, and usually it's a few months before we're able to all connect together again, and early in March, we got into a pandemic. The one time I've seen them was outside at a park for just a couple of hours in August. We aren't going to be able to see each other in person this Christmas. That's true on both sides of our family. That's a struggle, and it's going to be a struggle at Christmas. Despite feeling that I'm missing out, because my family, just like there's with my parents and my sisters and their kids, that's 10 people, which for the most of the time for the bubble, when it's been assigned to 10 people, they've all been able to gather. So I've been able to see pictures online of them all gathering together at different times during this. Despite feeling that I'm missing out, despite my prayers, despite not having what I want, I'm invited to opening myself up to joy by knowing I'm not forgotten, that my prayers have been heard, and that I found favor with God. I can find rest and comfort in that. And then as I do, I'm able to kind of settle back and find joy in what I have been able to have this year. I can realize that the weekly Zoom calls that our family has developed due to COVID restrictions, they've actually allowed me to talk more with my family this year than I typically have connected with them any other year. I'm missing one thing, but I can find joy in the gift that we have received, even when I struggle with what I haven't. A couple of other examples of where there's been joy, even though something has been lost. Here's an example that isn't from my family. In fact, some of you may be are likely closer to it than I am. Many of you know Damien Robitaille, who is Elise's son. Damien's a musician in Quebec, and COVID has hit musical performers, really hard. It's virtually all live shows, which is the lifeblood of most musicians. They've been canceled. He was one who lost a lot of these concerts and opportunities. He decided many months ago to begin posting a song per day on social media. His goal was to do 100. He did 100 and then kept going. He's been making this online music during the entire pandemic. If you haven't seen it, go check out his social media or his YouTube pages. But I don't know what the average number of viewers was for most of his videos, but on the last day of November, he posted a video of him singing the song Pump Up the Jam, which is very different than his typical style. As of last night, in less than two weeks, it's been watched over 4.3 million times just on Twitter, plus YouTube stuff, plus Instagram stuff. He's reached millions of people. He had a little help from his dog, Suki, in the video. I suspect that Damien would love to get back to playing gigs as soon as possible. But there's an invitation to find joy in something, even though he's not had what his ideal would be. Brent and Leticia, don't know I'm going to talk about them. Like they've missed out on some stuff, but I know that they went and got their first live Christmas tree this year because they were like, Brent said, you know, we realize we aren't going to be away like we are most of the time at Christmas, traveling and seeing people. So why not get a live Christmas tree? They're missing out on some things, but they're able to find a place of comfort and rest and say, okay, what can we find joy in this year? I don't know what the things are that you have a chance to find joy in. Perhaps with less travel, you have the chance to find joy in the simplicity of a beautiful and low-key Christmas at home. You know, this week, it's been incredibly joyous to see the response from people who are giving generously to ensure that children on Christian Island are able to receive gifts. I lament that the timing for this was late and COVID has added extra pressures for how we're going to receive the gifts and get them to it. But There's so much joy to see if we are able to find rest and comfort in our place with God, that He is with us, that we have not been forgotten, that He's heard our prayer. We can look and see the joy. I'd like to invite you to go back to the imagination exercise we did at the beginning of the message. We left off with you sitting on a bench in front of a restaurant, trying to process everything after over an hour of waiting alone. You've called and heard nothing. You struggled, and you're processing feelings and questions. Now imagine, as you're sitting there, struggling with all of these things, suddenly your phone rings. It's your friend. They explained that they were stuck in a major traffic accident. They were stuck in major traffic after having to attend to a family emergency. They saw your message and calls, but their speakerphone on their cell wasn't working, so they couldn't respond while driving. They just parked around the corner, and they would really love to see you if you're still available. Before you can even process what they're saying, they round a nearby corner. You run and embrace them, because remember, this is an imaginary story where there's no COVID. They apologize. They tell you again that you weren't forgotten. They heard your calls. They would love to spend time with you. The restaurant, now full, isn't an option. So you walk down the road, get some pizza slices from a local shop, and walk to a nearby park. You sit and laugh and walk together for about an hour and a half, having a great time until you realize that you both need to get to some other things. You regret not having as long together as you had planned. You genuinely missed the great meal you were looking forward to at the restaurant. Nothing went the way you expected or were longing for, but in the midst of the struggle, you were able to find joy in what did happen and what you did have. My hope and prayer for you and for me during this challenging season is that we will, first of all, remember that the primary purpose of this season is to celebrate God with us, and we have that. Secondly, that we would be able to remember that even if that presence doesn't look like what we'd longed for or hoped for, that God has not forgotten you, has not forgotten me, that your prayer has been heard, that God looks on you with favor. And finally, I hope and pray that through this, even when things aren't the way we would want them to be, long for them to be, even when we genuinely miss some of what typically makes Christmas special, that you'll be able to find comfort and joy in the presence of God with us this season.